Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Becker, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Cortese, Daly, Dodd, DeRozzo, Eggman, Laser, Gonzalez, Grove, Hertzberg, Hueso, Hurtado, Jones, Camlogger, Laird, Leyva, Limon, McGuire, Melendez, Min, Newman, Nielsen, Ochoa-Bogue, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Umberg, Wieckowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Members, a quorum is present. Would the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery please rise? We will be led in prayer this morning by Senator Laird, after which please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance and flag by Senator Grove.
Pierre Teilhard de Chardin spent his life being misunderstood by both his church and the scientific community. The following is a piece of advice by him. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient for everything. To reach the end without delay, we would like to skip the intermediate stages. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on, as you could be today what grace and circumstances will make of you tomorrow. Only God can say what this new spirit will be. Let God's hand lead you and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Gracious God, help us discern where we need to wait with patience and where we have waited long enough. Amen.
Colleagues, please join me in saluting our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committees will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Motions, resolutions, and notices. Seeing none, we will move on to consideration of the daily file. Moving on to second reading, the second reading file, items 1 through 33. Madam Secretary, please read.
Assembly Bills 1960, 2906, 2229, 2137, 2198, 2356, 1932 with amendments, 2505.
The second reading file will be deemed read. Members, we're going to move on to the Senate third reading, and we're going to start with file item number 45, Senator Skinner. She is prepared. Please read.
Senate Resolution 89 by Senator Skinner, relative to National Gun Violence Awareness Day.
Senator Skinner, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President and members. SR 89 declares June 3rd, which is the 25th birthday of Hadia Pendleton, who was shot down when she was 15 years old in Chicago. And SR 89 declares June 3rd National Gun Violence Awareness Day in California. Hadia is no more special than any other gun victim, other than her friends organized to recognize this day and to mark it by wearing orange. She is otherwise ordinary, as she is just one of two too many. The Office of Congressional Research defines a mass shooting as any event that has four or more victims. If you take that definition and you apply it just to this year, 2022, we have had 214 mass shootings so far. 214. We are not even given the space to grieve before another takes place. None of these events were unique or the same, other than another keeps taking place. And other than that was a person armed with a gun who shot others. Sacramento, people enjoying a night out, gunned down. Orange County, worshipers attending service viciously shot. Buffalo, shoppers at the neighborhood grocery store murdered. Uvalde, innocent children and teachers killed by a weapon of war. And yesterday in Tulsa, hospital workers and patients. I don't understand how we can accept living in a country where it is no longer safe just to go to church, to go shopping, to do any of our day-to-day business, where we risk encountering someone with a gun who can shoot us down anytime we go about our day-to-day business. What are we teaching our children when we have normalized active shooter drills, kids hiding under tables, and a 10-year-old girl smearing the blood of her friend on herself to think that that might cause that shooter to think she was dead? Prayers are meaningless in the face of what we have allowed. The God of all of our faiths would not condone this violence or this normalization of weapons of war. I don't want to list the facts I am about to state, because I don't want to know or acknowledge. I don't even read the news anymore. My staff have to put these things together for me because I feel sick to my stomach. Yesterday, I shook in my office. I literally shook. I don't want to acknowledge that we as Americans are allowing ourselves to live in this terror, that we have allowed the tyranny of an industry and a minority of Americans to hold us all hostage. An industry and a minority that has manipulated an amendment of our Constitution to justify unregulated access and use of weapons of war. We have allowed ourselves to live knowing that our children, our loved ones, and ourselves could become victims at any moment, just as a result of living here. But these are the facts that I'm about to state, and I state them not to be numb and not to become complacent. More Americans have died from gunshot as of today than all of the US casualties of every war we have ever engaged in since the Revolutionary War. 200 or more Americans are shot every day. Guns have now outstripped cars as the leading cause of death for people under age 20. That's our children, our teens. And every month, an average of 70 women in America are shot and killed by an intimate partner. Gun deaths just keep going up. There were 39,000 in 2019, 45,000 in 2020. I'm angry. All of us should be. But we have to channel that anger. It takes every bit of strength in my being to believe that we can turn this madness around. It is so hard to imagine, but we can't give that up. We can't. Can you stand to see another 19 children gunned down? We have the power to stop it. It does not happen in any other country on this planet. Our gun laws work. We know it. The numbers prove it. California is safer. Massachusetts is safer. New York is safer. Hawaii is safer. All of us, anywhere in the US, could be safer. And to give up is to acquiesce to more deaths, and it is equivalent to saying that we have said yes to any of our loved ones dying from a gun or ourselves. I ask you to join me in declaring June 3rd as National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And I ask for your yes vote, but most importantly, I ask for your commitment to act and to respect the overwhelming majority of Americans who want assault rifles, weapons of war, off of our streets, who want background checks and a waiting period, and who want red flag laws, at minimum, to help us turn this madness around and to end the tyranny of a minority and an industry driven by profits and no regard for human life. I ask you to make Americans safe.
Senator Min.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to thank my colleague from Berkeley for bringing this forward, and I join my colleagues in support of SR 89 in commemorating National Gun Violence Awareness Day. Now, I represent the 37th Senate District, which is home to some of the safest communities in the country, and yet we have not been immune to mass shootings. Of course, we had the recent shooting in Laguna Woods in a church. Last year, you may remember, we had the mass shooting in Orange in an office park in March, followed by the shooting of a little 6-year-old, Aiden Leos, on the highway when he was in his car seat. And unfortunately, there is no place that's safe today. Churches, temples, cars, places of work, hospitals, college campuses, movie theaters, dance clubs, grocery stores. There's no community, there's no place where we are safe from the specter of gun violence. We've had shootings that have just shocked our conscience over and over and over. Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Isla Vista, Seal Beach, the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting, Sutherland Springs, Las Vegas, Parkland, and so many others. Now, as my colleague mentioned, we have had a spate of shootings this year, 233 mass shootings, according to the Gun Violence Archive, and we're only 153 days into the year. Enough is enough. We cannot allow ourselves to be desensitized to this. We cannot allow ourselves to feel like we can not act to stop this. We cannot allow this to become the new normal. Now, the gun lobby would like to tell us that this is not a problem of guns. It's a problem of mental health or social media or video games or single parents or drugs, addiction, anxiety. And yet these problems exist in every other country, in every community in the world. We are the only country that allows this state to continue. And the only exception that we have, the only way in which we are different from our counterparts, is that we allow unfettered access to guns, and particularly weapons of mass destruction, these assault weapons that have proliferated since the lapse of the assault weapons ban in 2013. We now have 20 million AR-15 type guns, assault rifles in this country, 400 million firearms. We don't need that many guns. There is no purpose for an AR-15 other than to shoot lots of people. Now, there are solutions out there. We know that in the 1960s, we were facing a similar dilemma with how to regulate automobiles. We ought to be regulating guns and gun violence at least as stringently as we regulate automobiles. There are solutions out there. We've begun researching them. And I'm optimistic that if we have the will to act, and if we have the will to act in this state and lead, we can solve this problem of gun violence. This resolution honors the victims and survivors of gun violence with a promise of action to make sure that we can have a future reality where our kids, ourselves, can feel safe from gun violence. Now, my colleague from Berkeley so eloquently described the anguish of our children, the children who died, the children who survived. Every victim out there of gun violence, every survivor who's experienced gun violence, I want you to think about them for a moment. They were all centers of their communities. They all had people that loved them, mothers, fathers, children, sisters, brothers, friends. And every life that was snuffed out too early because of gun violence was a life that was just destructive to that entire community. We have to act to protect our communities from gun violence, and so I urge you all to not only vote yes today in support of SR 89, but to continue to carry forward the resolution and will to act on this. Thank you.
Senator Penn.
Thank you, Madam President, Senators. I too rise in strong support of SR 89, and I want to thank my good friend from Berkeley for both authoring this resolution and her words. I would make note, she mentioned yesterday in the news was a shooting in a hospital in Tulsa. It was not the only shooting in a hospital, by the way, yesterday. There was also another one in Dayton, Ohio. So we have so many events. Now, it wasn't technically a mass shooting because only two people died in Dayton versus what happened in Tulsa. But we got to think about the fact that we even have so many gun violent events that our news can't even cover them all, right? So the fact that we had two shootings in a hospital setting in the same day, and of course we hear mainly about one, which is the more, you know, which would involve more people. But is that really what we want in our society? And of course, as the other reason I had to raise my microphone, as a pediatrician, as a parent, I sadly have to say gun violence is the leading cause of death in children now. The leading. Now, I would make note, my good friend from Orange County talked about motor vehicles. Actually, interesting enough, motor vehicles used to be the leading cause of death in children. And interesting enough, if you look back 10 years, the number, or maybe 10 or 12 years, the number of, the rate of motor vehicle deaths, deaths related to motor vehicles for children, was about twice that of guns. And while certainly the number of deaths from guns has gone up, the reason gun violence is now the leading cause of death is because also we were able to bring down the number of motor vehicle deaths. And interesting enough, as we looked at the data on motor vehicle deaths, we didn't have people screaming that we were trying to take away people's cars or trucks. We said we wanted safer ones. We wanted safer vehicles, we wanted safer streets and traffic, and other types of things we did to create a safer environment. And we were able to bring down the number of motor vehicle deaths. Unfortunately, we actually went the other way with guns, and so the lines have intersected, and now guns are the leading cause of death in children. The other point I want to make, though, is that this is not inevitable. We can actually do something about it. So here in California, we have passed a variety of different laws and regulations, and actually our state has one of the lower rates compared to other states of gun violence. Certainly we have had our incidents, and we can rattle them off of gun violent incidents that happened here in California, so we're not immune, and we are part of the larger country, so we are not immune in that way. But I would make note that our gun laws have been effective in reducing the amount of death. And but I also make note that, of course, the reason we need to have national action is because, for example, there's also data that shows that, interestingly enough, when there are gun shows in Nevada, the number of shootings in California goes up. Now, when there are gun shows in California, because they're under our laws, that doesn't happen. But when there are gun shows across the border, then it goes up. So sometimes people talk about and say things like, oh, well, you know, Chicago or wherever else where they're bordering states where they have much more, less strict gun safety laws. So we know ours work, but we also know that we need to work to change this in the country. So with that, I would just again want to urge a support for SR 89. We need to remember the victims. The loss of their lives is not inevitable. And how long do you want to continue to tolerate gun violence being the leading cause of death of children in our country when we actually can do something about it? I respectfully ask when I vote.
Senator Rubio.
Thank you, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Today I rise in strong support of SR 89 and as a proud co-author, which establishes June 3rd as National Gun Violence Awareness Day. As a longtime educator and victims advocate, I am extremely heartbroken every time we hear of lives lost due to gun violence, especially in our schools. The shooting in Texas could have been avoided. I want to take a moment just to think of all those children we lost and the teachers that also lost their lives. It hits home. I can remember so many times that we had lockdown drills, practices, asked the children to stay calm, to sit down, to hide. But I don't think that any of that practice is any match for assault rifles. and weapons of war. These children and teachers did the right thing. As already stated, so many hid, even a little girl putting blood on her face just to play dead. And once again, they were no match for these weapons that are out on their streets, killing our children, our families, our neighbors. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported that the rate of gun deaths of children 14 and younger rose by roughly 50% from the end of 2019 to the end of 2020, becoming the leading cause of death for children and adolescents in this country. As an advocate of domestic violence victims, I know that over half of all intimate partner homicides are committed with guns, and women, a woman is 5 times more likely to be murdered when her abuser has a gun at home. We need to demand responsible gun ownership. We already heard the statistics. So I want to repeat, every month, an average of 70 women in America are shot by an intimate partner. Over 200 Americans are shot every day. When will it be enough? When will we start acting and trying to keep our children and families safe? I like to believe that all of us here care about our communities and that we care to keep our families safe. And this is not about taking anybody's gun away. It's just about responsible gun ownership and making sure that they're used safely and by those that are competent and know how to use a gun safely and are not experiencing mental breakdowns or having emotional issues. Once again, these tragedies could have been avoided. Today, I ask that we act to end gun violence. Let's start protecting our children, our families, our communities. With that, I ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Seeing none, Senator Skinner, you may conclude.
Thank you, Madam President, members. Thank you, colleagues, for your comments. I don't want to have my heart broken reading about another mass shooting. I do not want my grandbaby shot at school. I ask you to stop the madness and vote yes on SR 89.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, aye. Atkins, aye. Bates, aye. Becker, Borges, Bradford, aye. Caballero, aye. Cortese, aye. Daly, aye. Dodd, aye. DeRosso, aye. Eggman, Glazer, aye. Gonzalez, Grove, aye. Hertzberg, aye. Hueso, aye. Hurtado, Jones, aye. Camlunger, aye. Laird, aye. Leyva, aye. Limon, aye. McGuire, aye. Melendez, aye. Min, aye. Newman, aye. Nielsen, aye. Ochoa Bogue, aye. Pan, aye. Portantino, aye. Roth, aye. Rubio, aye. Skinner, aye. Stern, Umberg, aye. Wykowski, aye. Wiener, aye. Wilk.
Please call the absent members.
Allen, Becker, Borges, Eggman, Gonzalez, Hurtado, Stern, Wilk.
Ayes 32, no 0. The resolution is adopted. Members, we're going to move on to special consent calendar items 56 to 61. Is there any member that would like an item pulled for separate discussion, for pulled off the consent? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, please read.
Assembly Concurrent Resolutions 136, 153, 184, 175, and Senate Concurrent Resolutions 60 and 91.
And please call the roll on item number 56.
Allen, Archuleta, aye. Atkins, aye. Bates, aye. Becker, Borges, Bradford, aye. Caballero, aye. Cortese, aye. Daly, aye. Dodd, aye. DeRosso, aye. Eggman, Glazer, aye. Gonzalez, Grove, aye. Hertzberg, aye. Hueso, I, Hurtado. Jones. I, Camlogger. I, Laird. I, Leyva. I, Limon. I, McGuire. I, Melendez. I, Min. I, Newman. I, Nielsen. I, Ochoa Bogue. I, Pan. I, Portantino. I, Roth. I, Rubio. I, Skinner. I, Stern. Umberg. I, Wieckowski. I, Wiener. I, Wilk.
Please call the absent members.
Allen. Becker. Borges. Eggman. Gonzalez. Hurtado. Stern. Wilk.
Ayes 32, no 0. On item number 56, ayes 32, no 0 on the special consent calendar. Members, we're going to return to motions and resolutions. Senator Atkins has an adjourn in memory, so if you would all sit down, please. Madam Pro Tem, the floor is yours.
Madam President, thank you so much. Colleagues, I rise to adjourn in memory of civic leader Al Pavich, who died last month at the age of 72. Al was born on March 9, 1950, in Los Angeles. Immediately after graduating from high school in 1968, he enlisted in the Navy and went to Vietnam as a fireman recruit. He had a distinguished 30-year military career, received a direct commission as an ensign in 1978, and was promoted to commander. He retired in September of 1998. He was awarded over 40 military decorations, including the Legion of Merit Medal, 2 Meritorious Service Medals, a Purple Heart, 3 Navy Commendation Medals, 2 Combat Action Ribbons, and 8 Vietnam Service Medals. After retiring from the Navy, Al became the president and CEO of Vietnam Veterans of San Diego, and dedicated the next 10 years supporting homeless and at-risk veterans in San Diego and across the nation. He led in developing and building the Veterans Village of San Diego, a state-of-the-art early treatment facility for homeless veterans. During his tenure as CEO, the organization became a national model and was the recipient of numerous local and national awards for the services it provided. Both Al and his wife, Darcy, a chaplain, were instrumental in the coordination and success of the Veterans Village's annual stand down. This 3-day event provides veterans experiencing homelessness with supplies, services such as food, clothing, personal hygiene care, health screenings, housing solutions, pet resources, employment information, legal assistance, and benefits, counseling, and referrals. This event started in San Diego and has been replicated with more than 200 stand-downs throughout the country. And the military among us and others might know that stand-down, so named, because it means respite, peace, amidst the chaos of war. It was aptly named to apply to these homeless individuals that needed services. In 2008, Al became CEO Emeritus of Veterans Village of San Diego. Al is survived by his wife, Darcy, his mother, Candy, his daughter, Candace, and her husband, Christopher, his daughter, Kimber, and her husband, David, his grandchildren, Alexis, Joseph, Lucas, Sarah, Carson, and Kira, brothers Steve and Marty, and many, many chosen sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. Service to country, family, and others was imperative in his life. Al positively altered the lives of thousands of veterans and their families, and that is his legacy. He saw the good in everyone, never judging, and he made everyone feel like they were a part of his family. I was incredibly honored to know him. So I ask that you join me in adjourning in memory of Al Pavich.
Please bring his name forward to the desk so that he may be appropriately memorialized by the Senate. Under motions and resolutions, Senator Ochoa Bogue, you had an issue or a question?
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to make a motion to remove file item A12, AB 1426 from the inactive file, please.
So ordered. Is there anyone else under motions and resolutions? Seeing none, if there is no other business, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Madam President, thank you so much. Our next floor session is scheduled for Monday, June 6, 2022 at 2 p.m. Thank you.
Members, the Senate will be in recess until 3:30, at which time the adjournment motion will be placed. We will reconvene and see you all back here on Monday at 2 p.m. Ta-da.